possessed.
Really funny. Really funny.
What do you mean I'm funny?
It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
What do you mean? You mean the way I talk? What?
Just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Yeah, Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Oh, Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how? What?
Just, you know, you're funny.
You mean, let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
You know how you tell a story? What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
Get the fuck out of here, Tommy.
You motherfucker. I almost had him. I almost had him. Stuttering prick here. Frankie, was he shaking?
Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning. As the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind. Brainwashed minds. Bye.
in darkness, world stops turning. Yes, is where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. Hand of God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. Crawling, begging mercy for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh Lord.
Everybody, welcome to episode 3 of Woo's Mystery Box. I am the namesake Johnny Woo, who created this podcast. It's my podcast to do what I will, when I will, how I will. I had 2 episodes previously. One episode was kind of news and all kinds of topical stuff. That episode was terrible and sucked ass. The second episode seemed to go a lot better. It was focused on music, which I am comfortable doing. I am not a musician. I am simply a critic. And as anybody listening to this that knows me knows, I am fairly critical of all things all the time. This episode is basically I'm going to be covering the last couple of weeks because I did not do one last week because time just escaped from me. It was a holiday weekend last weekend. I had my kids. It was pretty tough for me to get all my stuff together, especially considering I had a short week at work and then had parental responsibilities at home. This week, what we're going to go through, we're going to do some news. We're going to give Aerosmith's Get Your Wings a second chance. We're going to take a look at the top 20 songs of the Billboard's Hot 100 charts. We're going to go ahead and do our little recurring bit of going through album by album of Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums of All Time. This week we will be focusing on the second album on that list, which is number 499. It is B.B. King's Live at Cook County Jail. But first, let's go ahead and take a look at what's been going on in the world of music the past couple of weeks. The Doobie Brothers showed up on the number one rated New York City DJ Scott Shannon's morning radio show, and they were publicizing the release of their 14th album, which is called Southbound. Among the artists on the album who are going to make guest appearances are going to be Brad Paisley, Blake Shelton, Toby Keith. And before you guys think too far that they're going in a more country direction, they are going to have a guest appearance by a former member, Michael McDonald, who you guys would probably recognize his voice because he was a pretty big deal with the Doobie Brothers there for a while. They were a staple of the 1970s rock radio scene. They've been eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for almost 20 years, but they have never been nominated. That is a damn shame because there are some really good rock songs that the Doobie Brothers came up with. Doobie Brothers, not really my cup of tea most of the time, but they have sold over 40 million albums, and it's a shame that they haven't even been nominated. And Kiss has been not only nominated, but inducted. So somebody should remedy that situation. Doobie Brothers should at least be nominated. Damn shame that they haven't been. Also, it's been a rough week or two for Dave Mustaine of the band Megadeth. Wow, I'm stuttering over my words already. First of all, the drummer Sean Drover and the guitarist Chris Broderick have left the band. But over the past holiday weekend, the remains of Dave Mustaine's mother-in-law, who had been missing since October 4th, her name was Sally Eastbrook, they found her remains. Foul play has not been suspected. My understanding is that she had been showing signs of Alzheimer's or dementia. My thoughts go out to Dave Mustaine and specifically his wife's family. Dave Mustaine has been, over the past year or two, maybe even three, kind of not exactly been put forth in a great light because of his politics and his need to put his foot in his mouth as it pertains to certain things. And this is just a sad situation for him. So outside of his personal proliferations and his personal beliefs, it's very sad, and my thoughts are with him. Another big story seems to be breaking quite a bit day by day. The frontman of Creed, Scott Stapp, has apparently fallen into a pile of shit. Evidently, his wife, Jacqueline, has filed for divorce, and his world has kind of fallen apart, it appears. He's had a very public meltdown. I mean, he's put up videos on YouTube. His wife's legal documents as it pertains to the divorce say that he has been abusing steroids, PCP, crystal meth, coke, Special K, pot, but pot would be the least of his worries if he's doing PCP and meth. And apparently he's on the prescription meds as well. I've watched the videos. They are torturous, to say the least, but let's go ahead and take a gander at some of what he's got to say. Here's video number one. We'll skip forward a little bit.
I'm sure are hurting him again. And it really, you know, it's hard for me not to be very angry, resentful, and bitter, and want to seek revenge. But as a Christian, I can't do that. As much as I want to, as much as I still battle with that inside of my heart, I have to pray every day that God just extends mercy and grace to me.
These videos are kind of whacked out. He's disheveled. He looks a bit like Mickey Rourke, I want to say. He looks terrible in the videos. That's just part one of three of these videos that he's got. His second video, he is taping himself in front of the Boca Raton Police Department. I don't know if he's like trying to prove something, that he's not high on drugs. here's a little bit of the audio from it.
Significantly, from what I was told, to the tune of like $50 million, has been, you know, just not paid. You know, no matter who I report to or the few lawyers that I've used in the past, for some reason, you know, they're interested at first, and then they talk with the record company, and then all of a sudden they just tell me that's how the game works, and, you know, I'd be lucky to get, you know, 5 cents on the dollar, and it's probably not even worth my time.
Yeah, so he's pretty crazy. He is apparently looking for an attorney, and at the end of these videos, there's an email address, I guess, to send him any information that any attorneys that are interested in taking Mr. Stapp's case, any further information. I know a little bit about the world of drug addicts, and I have a lot more experience in terms of divorcing people and divorce not really being the greatest thing for some people mentally. Some people, for some reason, I guess they think the person that they marry is the be-all, end-all, and is who they're going to die married to, or vice versa. It's a shame. I mean, it looks to me like this guy's world is just falling apart. Now, Creed bassist Brian Marshall has taken to Twitter, or to Facebook, something, I don't recall exactly, but he seems to, at first he said that Scott seemed to be okay. His exact message on Facebook was, I just wanted everyone to know that I've reached out to Scott Stapp. We talked briefly yesterday, and he seems to be okay. I let him know that we were all worried, and if he needed a sober friend to talk to, that I'm always available. But then he went ahead and, see, that made everything sound like it was cool. But then he went ahead and further stated in a follow-up, due to the exposure my post has received, I feel the need to clarify what I meant by saying Scott Stapp seems to be okay, quote-unquote. It is obvious Scott is not okay and that he needs medical help and or an intervention if he does not surrender to this disease before he hurts himself or others. I was trying to inform those who were concerned about his immediate well-being that we were reaching out to him during this difficult time and will continue to do so until the family gets the help they need. Again, it looks like the guy's having a meltdown because he's getting a divorce. He's probably not ready for the divorce. He's going crazy. And I know what that's like. I've been there and I've done that. I've been there and gone crazy. Mark Tremonti, who is the guitarist and pretty much Creed's, like, no, I guess if you want to call Scott Stapp the number one guy, Mark Tremonti would be the number two guy. Mark Tremonti, I believe, is the number one guy in Alter Bridge, which was the band that the guys in Creed decided to be in once Scott, I guess, showed the signs of craziness. It's my assumption. I don't know. I don't know the guys in Creed. I don't know Scott Stapp. I'm just forming an opinion based on what I've read. I guess Scott probably grew a head that was a little bit too big for the rest of the guys in Creed. The rest of the guys in Creed still wanted to put out music, and they basically said, fuck off, Stapp, and got in a band with Miles Kennedy, who sings for Slash's new band, and he's also the vocalist for Alter Bridge. So anyway, Mark Tremonti says he can't reach Scott Stapp. TMZ is reporting that Stapp's wife, estranged wife, has filed paperwork to have him involuntarily committed or put under a psychiatric hold, for those that don't know what involuntarily committed means. I guess they probably think he's a threat to himself, so they filed paperwork saying as much. Now, often mentioned in these videos is Scott's son named Jagger, and Scott continuously references how bright and brilliant this kid is. His kid has said the following on Twitter. He says, my dad is too busy posting songs on his Facebook, hiding out for attention rather than getting his act together. #dadstop. And then further, to all those confused, my father once again chose drugs over his family. He needs help, but refuses to get it. He's been on a 9-week binge. That says quite a bit if his 16-year-old kid is saying that. That means that Stapp is pretty much, he's pretty much lost it. And you know what? I can't blame the guy. I've been there. I've been in those shoes. I've gone crazy because my wife was cheating on me and she left. And she didn't give me a definitive, I'm definitely done answer. I pretty much had to come to that conclusion myself. And I had to pack up her stuff and tell her to pick it up on a day that I wasn't home. It was not a fun experience. But it was better for me to do that and maintain my sanity than it was for me to continue to torture myself. And it sounds like Stapp is in a place where he is continuously torturing himself and he's using his own drugs to kind of self-medicate his problem. And buddy, I don't like it. It's not a great place to be. But dude, I hope you find help. I'm not a fan of your music. I'm not a fan of Creed's music. But dude, I hope you find help. Anyway, on top of all of this crap, Scott has decided to go on one of those fundraising sites like Fund Anything or something like that. And apparently he's looking for $480,000 to put towards a new album and a book that he's trying to write. Now, again, these are things that I want to specifically point out for anybody who's interested. If you're not interested, then skip ahead a little bit. I don't care. The videos, if you watch them, they're alarmingly minimalist, meaning he's taking them on his cell phone. They're grainy. They're shitty. They're not done very well at all because he's taking them with like a shitty cell phone, probably a burner phone. He specifically says that he's got a temporary phone, which I'm guessing means he bought a shitty phone and he's been taking these videos with this shitty phone. But you can tell with what he's saying, he's paranoid and he's obsessed. He's paranoid that his record company is keeping money from him and he's obsessed with it. I would assume that he's obsessed with the money because he's probably trying to get money for drugs. Again, I'm only drawing conclusions here. I'm not making any definitive statements. He's probably lost because he has no way of getting whatever he wants to get. And he's pretty much stuck. And God bless him. Maybe he needs rehab. His story doesn't make sense. It's all over the place. He's saying he's broke and he has no access to money and no way to get funds. And that his record company is trying to hide funds and blah, blah, blah. And he's staying in a hotel. You can't stay in a hotel if you don't want to at least have a working credit card. It's just not how it works. And to say you have no access to money, but yet you're living in a hotel, it doesn't jibe. It doesn't jibe to the everyday person. I have a lot of sympathy for the guy. It's not that I'm a fan of his. I've been in that situation. I've been on the being driven crazy part, but I've also been on the part of the spouse where you're dealing with a drug addict and dealing with the BS that drug addict is putting you through. And it's not a fun place to be. And sometimes it makes you just as crazy as the addict. And it's something that through time and going to meetings, whether it be some kind of support group or a 12-step program that's for families and friends of recovering addicts, sometimes you need that other side of the story or that other person that knows what you're going through or has been there. And you need to be able to share your story and get it out, because sometimes that's therapeutic and cathartic as well. It's sad. I know some people probably find it funny just because of karma, but in my opinion, it's sad, and it's not a great thing for anybody to have to go through, because I've been through it and it sucks. Kiss was part of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, but Paul Stanley wasn't very happy with the treatment that the band received. He goes on to say on Twitter, Bluntly, we were screwed over and misled by the exec in charge of the hashtag Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We all deserved better. Apparently, what he is pissed off about is the fact that there was the band Kiss was right behind the Adventure Time balloon, which is Finn and Jake. My kids are all in on the Adventure Time, so I know quite a bit about it. Kiss were right behind that balloon, but Jake and Finn took up the screen. Kiss wasn't really in the spotlight at all. Apparently, when footage of Kiss was shown, it was during the first chorus of Rock and Roll All Night, which most people know as their like one of their biggest songs. But any focus that was on Kiss was they didn't cover a whole song. I believe it was minimal at best. From what I've heard, they were showing the wrong people at the wrong times, showing the guitarist while Gene Simmons was singing, showing Gene while the guitarist was soloing. And it just seems like it was a big fracas. Gene, however, has said that he was proud to be a part of the parade. Any publicity for Gene Simmons is good publicity, as you can tell. Lady Gaga was on the Howard Stern show, and that was on Tuesday. And among other things, she revealed being sexually assaulted by a producer at age 19. Interestingly enough, Kesha's attorney, Mark Garagos, went on a tweeting frenzy. And basically, he alluded that the person that violated Lady Gaga was the same person who violated Kesha, or who Kesha alleges violated her, and that is the producer, Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke and Lady Gaga's people have both refuted these claims. I don't think that's a great spot for the attorney of your client to be in, to be tweeting about the case that is in court. It doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to do that from the attorney's perspective. I don't understand it. I don't think there's any attorney in Delaware that would do that. I say that having worked for a law firm for 10 years. I will say this, if I'm mistaken, feel free to let me know that you would tweet all about whatever cases you got going on. All right, finally, also in news for sexual deviancy, Pete McNeil. And the people that don't recognize that name, he used to be the drummer for a band named Cake, who are infamous for having one hit, I believe. He's going to be doing 15 years for molesting a 3-year-old girl. He had already done probation for attempting to molest a 6-year-old at a Thanksgiving dinner. Thankfully, he was not in Cake while they were making most of their money and having their hits. Hopefully, he will sow the rewards of Gen Pop for 15 years, because that guy is a scumbag. That being said, let's go ahead and take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, we will give a second chance to Aerosmith's Get Your Wings.
Green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago, somebody left with the cup. But driving and driving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. 'Cause he's going the distance.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Cake, who we were just talking about, because the drummer was a pedo. All right, next. Aerosmith. As you guys know, if you listened to the last episode, what I have decided to do is pay a visit to some bands that I think are overrated or not very good, and give their albums a second look. A more objective look, since I am more grown up than when I formed my opinion on these bands. I've started making a list of the bands that I'm going to be reviewing eventually as this podcast progresses, as long as I have the gumption to continue forward with it. And Aerosmith was the first one that I chose because for some reason everybody seems to love Aerosmith, and I don't understand it because I think they're quite overrated. They have a couple of really, really good songs, but outside of those good songs, they really kind of fall off, in my opinion. It's a lot of filler, even though you have this one or two really epic songs that kind of get your ass moving. The stuff that's kind of in between and the stuff that's not as solid as those songs is really not solid and really kind of wishy-washy at best. So, this week, we are taking a look at Get Your Wings, so I hope you guys have it, and if you do have it, I hope you listen to it. Overall, this is where I'm at. I dug the first album. It rocked pretty hard. It was not terrible at all. It actually exceeded my expectations. So my expectations for this album are, it could go two ways. This could be a sophomore slump. I know there are at least two classic Aerosmith songs on it, so hopefully, with a little more focus and a little more polish, this album really kind of ups my expectations for the next album. So, this is going to be the first song, and you guys will probably recognize it.
With yoga, no smooth face, a lawyer can get you undone. Say love ain't Satan on the south side of town. You could look.
Yep, track number one is an Aerosmith classic. It's called Same Old Song and Dance. And this is one of their classic songs, just like I said. It's one of their songs that you probably could still hear on tour when they go out. It's a strong showing as an opener for an album, and maybe that's why it's considered a classic today. It's exactly what anybody who enjoyed the last album, you would be all in on this song, because it's, I don't want to say it's more the same, it's kind of refined from that album. So we move from that, which I gave a check, and that means it's got 10 points, and I've revised my grading system, but for the album, I don't know if I should explain it to you or not. Maybe I'll explain it at the end. I gave it a check, so I give it 10 points. Basically, I'm doing a check equal or minus. A check gets you 10 points, an equal gets you 5 points, a minus gets you 0 points. That's how I'm doing it. And then I'll aggregate the points at the end and I'll come up with a sum total or a percentage, and then we'll see if it gets a passing grade or not. This got a check, 10, strong start for the album. Next song is called Lord of the Thighs.
Your fashion cross the floor, make them perfectly clear. You're the bed and you're the hook, someone bound to take a look. I'm your man, child, Lord of the Thighs.
So this song starts off similar to Walk This Way. At first, I got excited. I was like, ooh, I'm going to hear Walk This Way. That's pretty cool. But it's not. It's a different song. I can really live without the piano and the parts that are the piano. Steven Tyler's vocals sound similar to the first album in this song. There are parts of this album where his vocals are slightly more mature. This is not one of those songs. It's got a weird vibe to it, which is kind of cool because it's not the same as every other Aerosmith song. It's like they were trying to branch out, which is a good move. It's not a terrible song, but it ain't great by any stretch. It's kind of a filler song. I gave it a 0 point grade. It's a minus. So next is a song called Spaced, and it's going to go like this.
Light in years disappears, 20 million years on my brain. Synthesize, overrides, trying to keep from going insane. And my soul.
All right, so now we're starting a trend with this album. This song is kind of meh. I mean, it's not the worst song at all. I kind of like the vibe to it. Again, it's different from the first album, but it just kind of moseys along. It could be worse, but so far it's making it look like this album is falling more into slump than it is into successor. I gave this one an equal sign. It got a meh from me. And that song leads into the very next song, which is not this song, because that's the same song. Wow, I suck. The next song is called Woman of the World. Again, we have a meh song here. It's another song where they open with the drums. So it's like, okay, is that what most of these songs is going to be now? You're going to open with the drums every song now. There are some tempos that kind of change a little bit. Like they'll go fast and then slow, fast, slow. Again, it's not the worst song in the world, so I gave it kind of an equal sign, so I decided to assign it 5 points, but it's just okay. The solo in the song is really cool, though. The solo is not bad at all, but it's by far not a classic. By far not a classic. And that leads us to the next song, which is called SOS Too Bad. So I kind of like where they're going with this song. It's more of a straightforward rocker than the other songs that just kind of like moseyed along. It's still not classic. It's not got that vibe to it that's like, yeah, this is a kick-ass song. But it's not bad. None of the songs are really bad. But it's still kind of just fluff. It's like, let's just put this in to expand the tracks more. The main riff of the song is pretty cool. it's just not great. I gave it another equal sign meh thing. That way it at least got half points. But it was not my favorite song on the album. Something, I think that's probably a sign for the next two. Leave it to me to jam you guys up with a solo in the middle of the song. That's Train Kept a Rollin', which has become more or less a staple of their act. It's another one of their classic songs. It's a good jam. Everything is tight. You can tell they've played it a billion times even before they recorded it. It's good. It's almost like there are two interpretations of the song that they kind of mash together, and they make kind of the ass end of the song like a live, like a pseudo live version where they throw in an audience track. It's actually pretty cool. You should give it a listen all the way through. I gave this one a check. It got a full 10 points, which leads us into the next song, which is called Seasons of Wither, which is kind of the companion piece to the previous song. So this song again got a check. This is a song that's all in my area. It's not at all. It's not like typical Aerosmith at all. It's kind of a ballad. I'll give it that. It's kind of ballad-y, but it's got a certain depth to it and almost a. You could tell they're really reaching out here and they're really trying for something different. And at times it seems like maybe they're trying to go for a Dream On 2 here, but they never kind of. Like, Dream On kind of boils into this thing at the end. They never quite boil there, but it did enough for me that I gave it a check, and I gave it the full 10 points. It's got a, like I said, it's got a darker vibe for Aerosmith. I like that it's essentially, like, the flip side of the coin to The Train Kept A-Rollin', because Train Kept A-Rollin' is, like, kind of fast-paced and, like, and this is just kind of mellow, and it mellows you out after that. I dig it because it's different from the rest of the album. There's still a certain quality to it that is solid and good, but it's not like the rest of the shit that drags on, like all the five-point songs that I gave it. So that leads us to track number 8, which is the closing track of the album, which is called Pandora's Box. This song is, it displays Aerosmith's innate ability to have innuendo that's second only to AC/DC. It's everything from the first album that I'm not into at all. There's piano in it, there's sax, it's kind of overproduced, it's cheesy, it's tongue-in-cheek, and there's a time and a place for cheesy, and there's a time and a place for tongue-in-cheek. I don't happen to think that it's at the same time, necessarily. Gets a big old nope from me and a big old zero. They get no points for that song, because it is not a great song at all. And essentially, that's it for the album. It's 8 tracks, it's what albums used to be back in the day. My final verdict on the say, or my final, oh my god, I need to be able to speak correctly. My final verdict on this album is that the goods don't come the bads of the album. Some of the bads are pretty bad. The goods are solid, but there's no, like, Dream On I basically gave double points to last time around when I did the average, and that album came up with like a 75 almost. So it was a solid C grade. This album, it only gets 45 out of 80, which is a 56%. It could not even get a D grade. I give it a big fat fail. It's not that it was terrible. It's not a terrible album, but it's not, it's just not as good as the previous album. The bads weren't like unbelievably bad, but they were like average, and there's a whole hell of a lot of average on this album. I know that the next album is their most lauded album, and I hold out hope for this, the next album. This song, this album here, you only need three songs out of it. That's it. And the rest of the album, just kick to the curb. Get go to iTunes, and for 99 cents, get Same Old Song and Dance, Train Kept a Rollin', and Seasons of Wither. And you can thank me for not having bought an entire album of just kind of mediocre stuff. So our next segment is going to be reviewing the Billboard Top 20. You guys might want a beer. I'm probably going to get one. We're going to take a break for now. Thanks for listening. Guys, I'm not even going to lie. This is the most exhausting part of the podcast coming up. So if you guys want to skip ahead to where I review the next album, I would not object to it at all. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what is hot in music today. And that means a lot of either electronic dance music or a lot of crappy hip-hop. Our first song is Selena Gomez, who really got a lot of attention for this song because she performed it at some award show. You'd have to forgive me because I am a metalhead at heart. I don't listen to stuff that is popular, so I don't give a shit about musical award shows. I don't care if it's the AMAs, I don't care if it's the Grammys, I don't care if it's the CMAs. I don't pay attention to it because my music doesn't get attention from mainstream press or mainstream radio or mainstream anything. You'd be lucky to hear half of the stuff I listen to even on satellite radio. This song is called The Heart Wants What It Wants. And again, it's by Selena Gomez.
You got me scattered in pieces, shining like stars and screaming, lighting me up like Venus. But then you disappear and make me wait, and every second's like torture. Heroin drip, no more so, finding a way to let go. Baby, baby, no, I can't escape.
So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a hint. If you paid attention to my last show, a majority of these songs were on the last show. So I may not have a whole hell of a lot to say about a lot of these songs because I've already said my piece. If you're listening to this show and it's fresh to you, go back and listen to the last show and hear my opinion on the ones that I don't really give two shits about. This song is not one of those previous songs. This is a new song to the top 20. It may not necessarily be new to the Hot 100, I don't know. I don't keep track of all that jazz. But this is new to the top 20, which is the portion that I've decided to cover. Because in my opinion, the top 20 songs are more important than the remaining 80 songs on that Hot 100 countdown. This song is actually pretty good. The chorus is only it's only that pretty much, but it's still catchy enough that you want to hear it again. It's nice and it's like a high school dance song, I guess you would say. This is one where the little kiddies go out there and they say, "I have a crush on you. Can I dance with you to this song?" I'm pretty sure this is not the last we're gonna hear this song up this far in the countdown. It's a solid song. I gave it a plus. And for me, a plus means quite a bit. That means that it's actually a listenable song. And what we're going to do now is go to the next song, which is number 19, called Lips Are Moving by Meghan Trainor. All right, so this song is also new to the top 20. I'm not sold on this chick. I'm not sold on Meghan Trainor at all. She's got that one. The other song that we will hear later that is a huge hit, but I'm not sold on her. This song is almost the same style as the other song that we're going to hear later. And she even references it. It's just kind of eh. It's almost like, okay, we're going to ride the coattails of our other song, which is way more niche and way more a novelty song. I gave it a minus just because I don't really see much in terms of a redeeming quality of this song. It doesn't feel to me like it's going to hang around as much as some of the other songs on this countdown either have or are going to. Song number 18 is by Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, and it's called Uptown Funk.
Don't believe me, just watch. 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 Hey, 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 oh!
Stop, wait a minute.
Fill my cup, put some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Right to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we
So this song basically confirms my thoughts that I've had listening to a lot of more modern music recently. It's something that I guess I'm desperately trying to cling on to my youth with, is trying to keep up with what's hot in music, even though I know that my tastes are totally not in tune with what's going on in modern music, especially modern pop music. This song basically confirms my theory that we're kind of back in the 80s, more or less, with the music that's coming out today. This has a really almost Kool & the Gang feel, or even a from the Purple Rain, Morris Day and the Time, that kind of feel to it. It's not the worst song. It's catchy. I could even see this song kind of growing on me, but for now, it's getting a big old minus because it is just not my thing at all. So we're going to move to number 17, which is by an artist called Jason Derulo, and it's called Trumpets.
Damn, is it weird that I hear angels every time that you moan? Oh yeah, is it weird that your eyes remind me of a Coldplay song?
Wow, I was in a way negative mood when I wrote my opinion on this song. I want this song to fall off this countdown desperately. It's gotten to number 17. Next week, people, please stop buying the song, stop downloading it, stop streaming it. It's not a good song. I don't understand Jason Derulo. I never have. I know that he's hot in the R&B hip-hop circles for some reason. He's like a broke-ass Chris Brown, I want to say. He's not very good. You can hear autotune all over his voice in the song. When I have other people that are kind of echoing my thoughts of, the song is called Trumpets, why do I hear keyboarded in trumpets? It's time for the song to go. It got a minus. It's not the first time it's gotten a minus. It's not going to be the last time it gets a minus, I'm afraid, if it's back on the countdown. The next song on the Billboard Hot 100 and on the top 20 portion is song number 16. It's called No Type by Ray Sroman.
And I play full court.
I play full court.
And if you're not my type, then you know I got to keep the shit short.
Got to keep the shit short with you.
Hey. What you know about a chick? What you got up in your pocket? What you spending when you shopping, dog? Why you wanna go flex? Like you all in the mix, like you got some shit popping off. I got some models that you see up in the movies and they wanna make a flip for the camera. Yeah? Wanna be Kim Kardashian.
Holy cow. I'm out on this song. I'm sorry. I'm so out. Hip hop today, this stuff, whatever this is, I don't know if they're considering it hip hop. I consider it hip hop. It's fucking horrendous. The production is good. The guy that's putting down the beats, the guy that's putting down the instrumentals, he's not bad. He's earning his check and he needs to cash it before shit bounces. The vocals suck. This guy, Ray, what's his name? I can't even remember it. It's Ray Sremmerd. So I don't even know how you're supposed to pronounce that shit. He's terrible. Get rid of him. Ditch him. Producer guy, produce for anybody else. But every new hip-hop, rap, whatever you want to consider it, artist is trying to be Lil Wayne. And just get behind Lil Wayne. Fuck these other little guys that are only around for like that one hit and a couple million bucks. And see ya, peace out, because my career ain't going nowhere. This is not good. This is not good. And if this is going to be the continuing trend on the countdown, then that does not look good. And if it's going to be the continuing trend in modern music, that's way, way not good. Our next song is Hot Boy, a.k.a. Hot N-Word by Bobby Shmurda.
Cash dog, I go all out. Shorty love the way that I flow south. Free greasy them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no pussy cats inside my dog house. That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog pound. Free fan on them, let all of my dogs out. We gon' pull up in that like we cops on them. With them 16s, we gon' put some shots on
them. Okay, so that's that song. I have one word for that song. Ew.
And it feels like drowning, pulling.
So this song is song number 14. It's called Waves. It's by Mr. Probs. You remember what I said about bad hip hop and EDM? We're there. We've had three really bad hip hop songs. One that's not as bad, but it's still not great. And here we go with EDM. The good thing going for this song is that I've had to listen to three really shitty hip hop songs. So it automatically kind of was like, yeah, something different. The guy's voice reminds me almost of a male Tracy Chapman. I almost wish he would strip all the EDM shit off of his voice and just get a guitar and do the Tracy Chapman thing. Only be the male version of Tracy Chapman. I like this song way better than I like the previous two songs. I gave this song a plus. I don't know if it's just because that's where my brain was. And I swear to God, I hope that the songs in this countdown are not more like the previous three songs. Here's number 13.
Fill the room up with some things. One night off and this is it. Always working OT. Overtime and not all time. Shit is crazy back home. It kills me that I'm not around. I think we getting too deep.
Oh my God, I'm so over these shitty hip-hop songs. That's Tuesday by I Love Mackinnon featuring Drake. We're right back into the vortex, guys. The producers, again, deserve the money. They earn the money. The music isn't the worst part about these songs. It's the delivery of the artists. They're fucking horrendous. This song is so horrible. It's funny because I discussed this song with my sister. And my sister is as white bread as I am. She just happens to listen to this type of music. And even she had this really exaggerated version of the song that she sang. Because apparently where she is a teacher at, it's a very popular thing. Which is a shame because that means young people have no taste. Here is number 12. So look, I said I'm a metalhead, but thank God for this song. It is such a breath of fresh air from the past huge segment of crappy hip-hop songs. It's danceable, it's hooky, it's almost like a messianic vigil in light of what came before it. I gave it a plus just because it's so much better than the crappy hip-hop that we've had to endure so far. Now, speaking of crappy hip-hop, here's track number 11 on the top 20.
I'ma take your ass back like I don't fuck with you. You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you.
Oof. Yeah. So you remember that messianic vigil I gave the last song? This song doesn't get it because it's fucking horrible. It's called I Don't Fuck With You. It's by Big Sean featuring Properties. We're right back where we started, folks. Right back in this vortex of shit. Again, another broke ass Lil Wayne. I'm sorry, Big Sean. You ain't as big as you pretend to be. So the next song, number 10, is by an Englishman. It's called Don't by Ed Sheeran.
If I could get it to play properly.
Looking for a friend. Maybe you could swing by my room around 10. Baby, bring the lemon and a bottle of gin. We'll be in between the sheets till the late a.m. Baby, if you wanted me, then you should have just said she's singing. Don't laugh when my love, that heart is so cold. All over my.
So again, that's track number 10. And of course, next to the layer upon layer of complete bullshit hip-hop that we've gotten in the past several songs, you can't not give that song a plus. Again, I think it's pretty cool that the song is delivered with that kind of English accent, because it's not usual that you hear an Englishman sing with an accent, and Ed Sheeran does. It's an album that I was supposed to review for my previous podcast, and I still have it, and I should really give it a listen, I think, because I think the dude's delivery is something else. Anything with musicianship, again, after such highly produced songs, how can you not give it a plus? It feels like the guy is actually genuine and actually put the work in for the music. Number 9 on the countdown is by Ariana Grande featuring, I guess it's Weekend. I don't know, it's misspelled, and it's called Love Me Harder. So now we're on a streak because we got two songs that I'm giving a plus to. It's way better than the hip hop shit we've had to listen to so far on this countdown. You can't not give it a plus because there's actual vocal ability there, which was not abundant in the previous hip hop songs. Our next song, number 8 on the countdown, is by one Nick Jonas. It's called Jealous. So, this song, more of that 80s vibe, huh? Yeah, I'm telling you, we're back in the 80s. So, all you chicks that were into the 80s music, you better hop on up because this is your time. Because we are revisiting that nostalgia period. So, yeah, he's going through this whole ignore my old image, it's sexy time formula, which you kind of got to expect. Katy Perry did it, and I guess to an extent Creed did it previously with their like trying to be mainstream but Christian type deal. Yeah. It's I mean, comparatively speaking, all that really bad hip hop has gotten me in a mood where I'm like, fuck it, it's getting a plus just because it's not that terrible hip hop shit. It's EDM, but you know what? Fuck it, I'm all in on the EDM at this point because the hip hop ain't cutting it. The only thing is that when I hear this guy's voice, it reminds me of an episode of South Park with the Jonas Brothers, and you can hear Trey Parker's impersonation within Nick Jonas's voice. It's okay. It'll pass. I gave it a plus. So now we're stuck on number 7, which is not by Nick Jonas. It's by Sam Smith, and it's called I'm Not the Only One.
I wish this would be over now, but I know that I still need you here. You say I'm crazy, 'cause you don't think I know what you've done. But
so this is another strong showing. I mean, we're finally, it's like, yes, we are in the top 10 because all that bad hip hop is not here. It's a good song. It's the guy's voice. I still swear up and down, and people look at me like I'm crazy. He reminds me of Brian McKnight. He has a certain vocal quality that screams Brian McKnight to me. I don't know why. It's just where I'm at. And I feel this song. It's a song that I highly identify with, much like I identify with the next song, which is called Habits Stay High by Tove Lo.
My life to forget I'm missing you. Ooh.
So here's where we're at, folks. We are on number 6, and we have had 1, 2, 3, 4, and now 5 pluses in a row. While I'm all past the allusions to the drug use and the, kind of the parallels with it, and kind of creatively that's interesting from a poetic point of view, it's a catchy song, and it's a good song, but it does look like it's finally kind of fading backwards in the countdown, because if I'm not mistaken, the last time I did the countdown, it was in the top 5, and now it's kind of taken a backslide to other songs, like the next song. By the way, Habits got a plus. But the next song is in the number 5 spot, and it's by an artist who is pretty popular at the moment.
I'm lightning on my feet, and that's what they don't see.
So we are at officially 6 songs now with a big old plus sign. I still like that this song is, out of the 2 songs by Taylor Swift that are on this countdown, and trust me, there's another one. This one is the better of the 2 songs in my opinion. Right now it's not the most popular of the 2 songs, but in my opinion this is the better of the 2 songs, because it's more of a middle finger to basically established society, because when you're as big as Taylor Swift is, especially in this day and age, she's the only artist this year so far that has sold 1 million albums with her release, which is fucking impressive considering her release of her album has not been that long. It's only been a couple of months, if that. It's really her attitude towards everybody that's criticized that her songs are about ex-boyfriends and whatnot. She's basically shown a big middle finger with this song to them. Because, to be honest, what gets someone more creative than a shitty, terrible breakup? And that's exactly where Taylor Swift is. She's a young 20-something. God bless her. If I had that ability to sing, write my own songs, and play my own music, I'd be doing the same goddamn thing. So it's got to be a plus. Just for the attitude of the song alone. It is falling backwards on the charts, which is a damn shame, because in my opinion, it's a solid, solid song. Which brings us to the very next song, which is by a group called Maroon 5, and it's called Animals.
You can run free, you can find another fish in the sea. You can pretend it's meant to be, but you can't stay away from me. I can still hear you making that sound, taking me down, rolling underground. You can pretend that it was me, but no. Oh, baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive, just like animals.
So you guys are going to get tired of me saying this, but it seems like Maroon 5 is less of a band and more like the Adam Levine Project. But to be fair, these guys, for not really doing much, they got to be cashing them checks, because this song is firmly established in the top 5 now. I know this is maybe one track, give or take, from where it was the last time I did the countdown. And I'm glad that they're kind of evolving their sound away from not disco into a more modern. If you're going to do kind of that danceable stuff, at least do it more modern than everything having a disco beat to it. I still think that it's a sham to call this group a band anymore, because I don't think they really are. It doesn't sound like band style music, because usually when you have a band, you can hear guitars, you can hear bass, you can hear drums. And if there is a keyboard, it's kind of just padding underneath everything. And to me, everything about this track just kind of screams that it's production based, which doesn't really say band. It just feels like, I don't know, it feels almost artificial in a way. It seems like Adam Levine should just be putting out music on his own at this point. So, speaking of on their own, here is track number three. Oh, track number four got a plus, by the way. Track number three does not get a plus. It's called Take Me to Church by Hozier.
Amen. 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 Take me to church. I worship like a dog at the shrine of your light. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God. Let me give you my life. Take me to church. I worship like a dog at the shrine of your
So I feel like this song is desperately trying to reach out to hipsters, and I feel like the hipsters have obliged to it and made the song be number three on the charts, because I don't feel this song at all. I feel like the religious stuff is so desperate, and it's almost got like a faux ethereal sound to it. Like they're trying to sound otherworldly, and it just doesn't work for me. This song does nothing for me other than make me pissed off that it's still on the charts, and it's at number three. Again, it did not get a plus. It got a minus. It is not, I guess it's just not for me in my old age. The next song is by Meghan Trainor. Again, it's her second song on the countdown, and it's called All About That Bass.
No trouble, I'm all on by that bass, no trouble. I'm all on by that bass, no trouble.
All right, so I lied when I said that the last song was the lone holdout in this top 10 portion, because I don't like this song either. I don't want to say I don't like the song. I'm past the novelty of this song. I mean, this song, she knew this song was going to be so over that with her other song on the countdown, she references this song at least twice. I'm sick of it. When I heard it pop up, when I was listening to the countdown and I heard it pop up, I was just exasperated. I was so done with this song. I was like, really? This fucking song at number two still? I don't know what that says. I don't know if that says there's a lot of people with big asses in this country that like to hear songs about people with big asses, or if the song is actually catchy or some shit. Or maybe just even people with small asses think they have a big ass, so they're all in on the song. I really hope the song goes away. I hope the next time that I do the show that either the song has fallen way back or is not on this countdown at all. Please, guys, stop listening to it. Stop buying it. Stop buying the single. Stop listening to it. Stop streaming it. Everything I requested of that one shitty song earlier, due to this song too, let it go away, because it's not very good. And your tastes are terrible because it's at number two. You should feel bad for yourselves for making me listen to that piece of shit. What's not a piece of shit is this next song by Taylor Swift called Blank Space.
For a weekend. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know I love the players, and you love the game. Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far.
So yeah, spoiler alert, I like this song. Both of her songs that are on the countdown are good. I have the album. I have not listened to it yet. I need to just break down and listen to it and just wholly sit down and listen to the entire album from front to back. I've heard good things. It's sold over a million copies. It's got to be halfway decent for that many people to be buying it. I'm not entirely fond of the direction in terms of composition that Taylor Swift has gone, but I will say the fact that she's still writing her own songs, and this fact that her songs are super catchy, it's real. you can't not respect that. And her songs kind of have this mammoth feel about them, which is not a terrible thing at all. Trust me, it's not. So it got a plus. And to be fair, a lot more songs got pluses than I expected to on this countdown. So that's an accomplishment in the year 2014 when your boy is 35 years old and trying desperately to keep caught up for his kid's sake. So we're going to go ahead and take another break so that I can get a tinkle in and maybe even drink another beer. And I'm going to leave you with another surprising song for the break song.
Quarters in session, a verdict is in. No appeal on the docket today, just my own sin. The walls cold and pale, the cage made of steel. Screams fill the room, Lord, I drop and kneel. Silence now the sound, my breath the only motion around. Demons cluttering around, my face showing no emotion. Shackled by my sentence, expecting no return. Here there is no penance, my skin begins to burn. So I held my head up high, I didn't hate that burns inside. Don't infuse their selfish pride. All hail captive out from the sun. Shines on all its own. We don't make a wrong one. I hear a thunder in the distance, see a vision of a cross. I feel the pain that was given on a sad day of loss. Lion roars in the darkness, only he holds a key. A light to free me from my burden and bring me life eternally. Should have been there on a Sunday morning, banging my head. No time for mourning, ain't got no time. Should have been there. No time for mourning, ain't got no time.
I don't know if you guys can tell this or not, but especially from the little songs that I play in the breaks, I'm kind of a smart ass. That's just kind of who I am. And that's pretty much the only song by that group that I can stand. I don't like anything off of any of their following albums. I figured my Own Prison was like the best that Creed could get. And I think that I'm right. There's been a huge backlash basically against Creed. And Creed is like, so Creed was compared to Pearl Jam and Nirvana as being kind of post-grunge. And then Nickelback is basically like, oh, Nickelback, that's like that group that's like a wannabe Creed almost. So Creed is the wannabe of a group that has wannabes. It's crazy. And I'm not saying to anybody that's listening that likes Creed that you shouldn't necessarily like Creed. I just think I made the right decision in not necessarily backing Creed when Creed was at their most popular. I did like that particular song by Creed, but not much else. And then you start getting into Higher and what's that other one? He did that one song about his kid, and I can't remember what the hell it was called, but it was another kind of, really? This is where we're going? This is where we're going? And I was right. I feel I was right in not backing that particular band. I did back Nickelback at the very beginning. At the very beginning. And, woof, they've become a joke. Anyway, so last segment. And thank you guys for sticking in as long as you have stuck in. Again, I play commercial. I play breaks. I don't want to call them commercial breaks. I play breaks so that if you own a business and you have some advertising that you want to do, hook me up. Hook a brother up. Right now, the listenership isn't big, but if you give me some money, I can grow our listenership, I promise, with some advertising and word of mouth, guys. Seriously, if you're listening to me and you enjoy the show, if you listen to my old podcast, you enjoyed that, and you've come over, I will tell you this, we're looking at maybe starting the old podcast back up again, and that might fill the spot that this is filling when the time comes. If the time comes, guess what? I'll let everybody who's listening know, because I promise you, you will enjoy that podcast as well. But anyway, go ahead and send me a tweet at WizzoOzz, that's at WizzoOzz, because I like a lot of kind of repeating letters in my name, because my real name has repeating letters, by the way. Anyway, go ahead and send me a tweet. You can send me an email. It's woozmysterybox@gmail.com. Or you can send me an email at woothewiz@aol.com. If that's what you want to do, I would be more than happy to entertain any requests. You can send me any feedback you want to, good, bad, indifferent. I will go ahead and read it on the air, I promise. I believe I have a Twitter account set up specifically for the show. I can't remember what it's called. I have to actually do the legwork on that. But I did set it up. I'm almost positive. So anyway, our last little bit of business is to look into the Rolling Stone top 500 albums of all time. And we already have reviewed the last album on that list, the number 500 album, which was an Outkast album. This time around, we have an album by a legend, a verifiable legend that goes by the name of B.B. King. And the album is called Live at the Cook County Jail. I will say that I did a little bit of research. I could not find too much about this particular album. It is from 1971. It was recorded, as its title suggests. Not much else in the way of its background. I will say that B.B. King, by 1971, was already 20 plus years into his career. He is ranked as number 6 on Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Guitarists of All Time, and he is currently 89 years old, still kicking, still alive. God bless you, B.B. King. I'm not a blues guy, personally. I recognize even though I say I'm not a blues guy, I recognize the significance of blues in the music that I actually listen to in terms of metal, in terms of hard rock. I know that had there not been blues, had there not been jazz, there would not be metal, there would not be rock and roll, there would not be hard rock in any way, shape, or form. Blues cemented the guitar as an important instrument in any music pretty much going forward. It also introduced the rhythm section and the importance of bass guitar, the importance of drumming in the style of music that's contained within. And it also showed how instrumental, soulful vocals and vocals that you can feel, vocals that mean something, are in terms of any modern music today. So I am all about respecting the blues. I just don't happen to like a whole hell of a lot of it. Either that, or I just have been ignorant of it and really haven't given it that much of a thought, because I'm like, you know what? I gotta respect it because I know it came before what I like. I just don't have time to figure out where the hell it came from. So this particular album, I didn't really have any expectations. I like to let you guys know if I have expectations, and it's difficult to let you guys know if I have an expectation when I really don't know what I'm getting into. At least with the Outkast album, I kind of had a feel for the hip-hop and the rap that I like, and it more or less blended in with the stuff that I like. Blues, I don't really know what I like. I do know that I like Eric Clapton, who was highly influenced by the blues. I do know that the Beatles were highly influenced by the blues and by jazz and that stuff. I know that a lot of the stuff that I love is not necessarily entrenched in the blues, but it's one of its primary influences is blues music, because I'm all about that late 60s, early 70s hard rock slash, like, I want to call it proto-metal, like the stuff that would eventually be considered metal. That's what I'm about. And I know that without blues, none of that stuff would exist. So I had no expectations going in. I went ahead, I've listened to it at least 2 times. It is not an album I'll be looking to get rid of anytime soon. On a scale of 1 to 5, which is what I like to do because it makes things simpler, because I figure it's an odd number. If you get to a 3, you know it's worth listening to. If it's not a 3, then just don't bother with it. I gave it a 4. There's only a few distractions with the album, and that's the little bits in between a couple of songs where BB kind of talks about either that specific song or stuff that's part of a live performance. The bad thing is that this particular live performance is less than 40 minutes long. And when you're filling it up with 10 minutes, you're only really getting a half an hour performance. Which I guess when you consider that the audience were jailbirds, it is what it is. The music itself is brilliantly performed. B.B. King's vocals are heartfelt. They're sincere. It had to have been a treat for the inmates that were there that particular day. I cannot say that the album was bad in any way, shape, or form. It was a solid album. I would recommend that anyone that hasn't listened to it, go ahead and listen to it. That's my recommendation. I was going to read some Amazon reviews, but I'm already an hour and a half in on this podcast. I don't know if you guys want to deal with me for 2 hours like you did last week, or not last week, but the week before last. So I'm going to go ahead and close out from there. And I usually go ahead and say, these are the key components of this album. Here's the problem with this album, though. You've got songs that are medleys of songs, and again, it's less than 40 minutes long. It's literally almost only a half an hour to listen to. Don't watch that shitty episode of 2.5 Men that you're thinking about watching. Don't watch that shitty episode of what's that show called that I dislike so bad? The Big Bang Theory. Just don't. On that particular night that those two shitty shows are on, just say, you know what? I'm going to take Johnny Woo's advice, and I'm going to go ahead and listen to the B.B. King album, and go find it on whatever streaming service that you're into, and go ahead and listen to B.B. King. It's a better value for your time, to be honest. It's way better than whatever shitty sitcom you were planning on watching. So with that, that's a 4 out of 5 again. With that, next time that you guys hear from me, we're going to go ahead and pay more attention to the Billboard Top 20, because I like torturing myself for you guys. But we're also going to do whatever news is going on that particular week, or maybe 2 or 3, whatever. It depends on when I plan on doing my next podcast. I plan on doing it next week, but I'm not going to hold firm to that necessarily unless I get some advertisers to kind of make me do it. But I'm also going to review the number 498 album on the Rolling Stone charts. I believe it's the Stone Roses self-titled album. Don't hold me to it if I change it next week, because I looked at it. I looked at the list and it was different. I'm sorry and I apologize in advance. But also, you guys should get super psyched, because I am going to take a listen to the 3rd Aerosmith album. Again, it is the most highly lauded album of theirs. It is the album celebrated the most by Aerosmith fans. It's an album called Toys in the Attic. And since I didn't recommend any B.B. King for you guys this week, I am going to close off the podcast with B.B. King. This song is called The Thrill Is Gone. It's off of Live at the Cook County Jail. Please give it a listen. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Enjoying yourselves up to now? Have you been having a little fun?